فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. أيها الإخوة السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. حديثنا اليوم عن موضوع هام جدا في حياة المسلم ألا وهو الثبات على الإيمان والثبات على الإسلام والثبات على السنة. يقول الله تبارك وتعالى يثبت الله الذين آمنوا بالقول الثابت في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة ويضل الله الظالمين ويفعل الله ما يشاء. نعم إن الثبات على الإسلام نعمة عظيمة على المسلم، امتن الله تبارك وتعالى على المسلم بها. وينبغي حتى نعرف ما قيمة الثبات وما منزلة الثبات على الإسلام أن نعرف أن الثبات نعمة وأنه غرس إذا سقي بوسائله ثبت وازداد ثباتا، وأن الإسلام ودعاة الإسلام باقون رغم كيد أعداء الله تبارك وتعالى لهم. فالله سبحانه وتعالى يقول مبينا أن الإسلام نعمة، اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. فالإسلام نعمة من الله تبارك وتعالى. والنعمة كما تعلمون نعمتان، نعمة دنيوية ونعمة دينية، وخير النعم النعم الدينية. والله تبارك وتعالى ينعم على عباده، على كافرهم ومؤمنهم، على برهم وفاجرهم، على شقيهم وسعيدهم في الدنيا. وهذه النعمة التي يتمتع بها العباد، فهو يرزقهم وهو خلقهم وهو يعطيهم وسائل التمتع في هذه الدنيا، لكن المؤمن يتمتع بهذه الأشياء على منهج الله، والكافر يتمتع بهذه الأشياء على منهج الشيطان. وأما الدين وأما الإسلام فهو نعمة أيضا، نعمة عظيمة، يختص الله بها من يشاء، يختص الله بها من يشاء. ولذلك فإن ربنا يقول تبارك وتعالى ومن يطع الله والرسول فأولئك مع الذين أنعم الله عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا. أي من يختار هذا المنهج فهو في الآخرة يتبوى أرفع المنازل وأعلى الدرجات مع النبيين مع الصديقين مع الشهداء مع الصالحين. أين هم؟ في جنات الخلد. من جارهم؟ في جوار الله تبارك وتعالى. إن المتقين في جنات ونهر في مقعد صدق عند مليك مقتدر. فهم في جوار الله تبارك وتعالى في الآخرة لأنهم ساروا على منهج الله تبارك وتعالى.
الشيخ وناس الجيم باي يستعيد عن خطبة الحاجة and then after that he said that no doubt today's talk or today's lecture is a lecture that is extremely important in the life of the Muslim. And the name of the lecture is Being Firmly Established on Al-Islam and Being Firmly Established on the Sunnah and Being Firmly Established on an Iman. The Sheikh went on to say that this establishment comes only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he has said in the Quran, one of the ayats, the many ayats of the Quran. Verily, Allah establishes those who believe with a good word in the hayat al-dunya, in this life. And those who are disbelievers will have a tremendous punishment. So the Shaykh went on to say that this ayah clearly shows us that the establishment or the firmness that we're looking for comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And this is in fact a ni'mah from Allah upon the Muslim. And he went on to say that in order for us to know about this ni'mah and for us to give it its proper place in al-Islam, we need to understand a few issues. One of those issues is that this sabat, or being established on al-Islam, is something that can increase according to the effort that the Muslim is making. And that the du'as, or the people who are calling to this Islam and this correct da'wah and minhaj, they are the ones who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after establishing them, is going to cause them to be increased in their belief. And so al-Islam has come, and it has explained to us about this ni'mah, or this favor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us in establishing us on al-Islam. When Allah said in the Quran, today I have completed for you your religion, and I have completed for you this ni'mah. I have completed my favor upon you, and I have chosen for you al-Islam as a religion. Sheikh went on to say that this is a true ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fact that He has completed the ni'mah on us, or His favors upon us, as He has described it in this ayah. And he said, as you all know, the ni'mah in al-Islam is of two types. The first type of favor that we get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the favors that are connected with the dunya, the ni'mah dunyawiyah. And the second type of favor or ni'mah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows upon the servant is the ni'mah diniyah, or those favors which Allah bestows upon His abd as it relates to His religion. And the Shaykh went on to say that this ni'mah is the ni'mah that has to be considered to be the greatest ni'mah. He went on to say that Allah ta'ala, as far as the ni'mah dunyawiyah is concerned, He has given this dunya to many of His servants. Whether they are Muslims, whether they are kuffar, whether they are obedient, whether they are disobedient, it doesn't make a difference to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what He has done is He has not discriminated against any of His servants when it comes to the ni'mah of the dunya. He gives it freely as He chooses in terms of His sustenance or the rizq that He has given, in terms of the fact that He is the one who has created them when He didn't have to create them. He gives to them whatever they need in this dunya. He said, but in fact it is the mu'min who is the one who uses what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon him in His favors according to the minhaj of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is the kuffar who use the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to the minhaj of ash-shaytan. So the Shaykh went on to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this favor to all of His servants, as Allah has said in so many ayats of the Quran. But the greatest ni'mah, the ni'mah that's given to the believer in the deen, is only for him, as Allah said in the Quran, and whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will be with the Prophet and the truthful ones and the ones who are shuhada, the ones who bear witness or die shaheed. And what a good fraternity this is.
والإنسان يا أحبائي لا قيمة له إلا بهذا الدين، لا حياة له حقيقية إلا بالإسلام. فالإنسان لا يعرف حقيقة وجوده إلا بالإسلام، لا يعرف مقصد خلقه إلا بالإسلام، لا يعرف دوره الذي ارتضاه الله له إلا بالإسلام. فالإسلام يعطيك حقيقة وجودك وغاية وجودك ودورك في هذا الوجود، ومن لم يعرف الإنسان ضاعت عنه هذه الأشياء. الإنسان يا أحبائي لا قيمة له إلا أن يتحرر من عبودية العباد إلى عبودية رب العباد. الإنسان يا أحبائي النعم التي أنعمها الله عليه يصبح كالأنعام السائمة بل هو أضل من الحيوانات. انظروا إلى قول الله تبارك وتعالى وهو يصف الذين أخلدوا إلى هواهم، إلى الذين اتبعوا أهواءهم، إلى الذين انحرفوا عن دين الله تبارك وتعالى. يقول الله تعالى أرأيت من اتخذ إلهه هواه أفأنت تكون عليه وكيلا أم تحسب أن أكثرهم يسمعون أو يعقلون إنهم كالأنعام بل هم أضل سبيلا. نعم هم أضل سبيلا من الحيوانات. وهذا هذه الحقيقة لو تكلمنا عنها في بلاد المسلمين في المشرق لاستغربوا كيف يشبه الإنسان بالحيوان، بل كيف يكون الإنسان أحط منزلة من الحيوان. ولكنكم في هذه الديار ترونهم إنهم أحط من الحيوانات، إنهم أحط من الأنعام، بل والله إن الأنعام وإن الحيوانات لهي أفضل منهم. ولذلك شبه الله تبارك وتعالى الذي يعرف هذا المنهج وينحرف عنه كالحمار، كما شبه اليهود مثل الذين حملوا التوراة ثم لم يحملوها كمثل الحمار يحمل أسفارا، وشبه الذي آتاه الله آياته فانسلخ عنها شبهه بالكلب، فمثله كمثل الكلب إن تحمل عليه يلهث وإن تتركه يلهث. لماذا؟ لأن الحيوانات تعرف غاية وجودها بما فطرها الله عليه. ولكن هذا الإنسان أخص منزلة من هذه الحيوانات لأنه لا يعرف غاية وجوده ولا يعرف دوره ولا يعرف لماذا خلق الله، فضاع على مفترق الشهوات، فإذا هو كالأنعام بل هو أضل منها سبيلا.
Sheikh went on to say that without the religion, there is no use for the human being to be alive without his religion. For a person to live without his deen, then in fact he is not really getting the benefits of life. The true life and the true existence is the life and existence that is coupled with the religion. Because if a person does not know why he has been placed in this earth, he's going to be lost. And it is the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Islam that has explained to the people in no uncertain terms why they have been placed in this earth. And it is the religion of Al-Islam that has explained to the people what is his responsibility, why he has been placed in this earth. So the person needs to know the reality of why he's here. And he needs to know the reason that he's here. And he needs to know the reason that he has been placed here and what is actually required of him, why he's here. And that, no doubt, as the Shaykh said, is for him to make the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have the ubudiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not the ibadah of the ibadah. That he does not worship the human beings and what human beings have created for him. The Shaykh went on to say that the people from the human beings who are without any religion, meaning the religion of Al-Islam, they are the ones who not realize why Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has created them. And as of such, and as that is the case, they have become people who are like animals or cattle. But instead he went on to emphasize they are worse and further astray than the cattle. He said because when you look to the Quran, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, who has created them and who knows them better than they know themselves, Allah Ta'ala has said in the Quran, do you not see the one who has taken his desires as his God? Verily you have been not made as a wakil over him, O Muhammad. You have not been made a person who is responsible for him to be guided and to do right. Do you think that they're going to listen to what you have to say? Verily they are like the cattle, but instead they are worse astray than the cattle, as Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said in the Quran. The Sheikh went on to say that if you were to go to the Muslim country in the East, and you were to tell the Muslim country, the Muslim people over there, listen how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described the people as animals. It may be that in some Muslim countries, because Islam is still present and they're still good in the people, that they may find it strange and difficult to conceive and to conceptualize that there are people who are actually like animals. He said, but you people coming from this part of the world and living here, where you are living, you can see very clearly the wisdom of this ayah and the truthfulness of this ayah. And it is not in any shape, form, or fashion strange to you. The Shaykh went on to say, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran has described the Jews as being like animals, when he said in the Quran, verily the example of those who have been made responsible to carry the Torah and to practice the Torah and to call to the Torah, meaning the Jews, verily their example is like a jackass or a mule who carries books on his back. What a bad example that is to be. And he said, look at the other man in the Quran who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him his sign. Allah gave this man his signs, and this man left the signs of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about this man, verily his example is like the example of the dog. If you bother him, he'll pant with his tongue out. And if you leave him alone, he'll continue to pant with his tongue out. Either way, his situation is the same. The Shaykh went on to say, because the animals, ikhwan, they do not know the reason why they've been created. They have just been placed here, but they don't know why they're here. So therefore, when the human being loses sight of this reality, he becomes like them or worse than them.
وهذا الثبات على الدين مثله كمثل الشجرة. إذا اهتم بها الإنسان وإذا اعتنى بها الإنسان أثمرت ثمرا طيبة، وإن تركها الإنسان ولم يعتني بها الإنسان أثمرت ثمرا خبيثا أو يبست، لأن البلد الطيب والمكان الطيب ينتج ثمرا طيبة، والبلد الطيب يخرج نباته بإذن ربه، أي يخرج نباته طيبا بإذن ربه، والذي خبث أي المكان الذي خبث والبلد الذي خبث لا يخرج إلا نكدا أي نباتا خبيثا. ولذلك فالله تبارك وتعالى شبه الإيمان شبه الإسلام بالشجرة. يقول الله تبارك وتعالى ألم ترى كيف ضرب الله مثلا كلمة طيبة كشجرة طيبة أصلها ثابت وفرعها في السماء تؤتي أكلها كل حين بإذن ربها ويضرب الله الأمثال للناس لعلهم يتذكرون. هذه الكلمة الطيبة هي الإسلام. فينبغي عليك أن تعرف أو تعلم الأمور التالية، أن هذه الشجرة لها أوراق ولها عروق ولها فروع ولها ثمر. يقول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم الإيمان بضع وسبعون شعبة، فأفضلها قول لا إله إلا الله، وأدناها إماطة الأذى عن الطريق، والحياء شعبة من الإيمان. الإيمان بضع وسبعون شعبة أي شجرة لها فروع كثيرة تبلغ بضع وسبعون غصنا شعبة. أفضل هذه الشعب وأعلاها وأصلها قول لا إله إلا الله، توحيد، توحيد الله. هذا التوحيد يثمر أعمالا صالحة. ولذلك ربط الله تبارك وتعالى دائما بين الإيمان وبين العمل الصالح. إيمان صحيح، إيمان حقيقي يثمر عملا صالحا، يثمر قولا طيبا، كما أن الشجرة الطيبة تثمر ثمرا طيبا. إذن هناك توحيد، هناك أعمال صالحة، هناك دوافع للأعمال الصالحة، دوافع لهذه السلوك. كما يقول علماء النفس الذين يسمونهم علماء النفس، لكل سلوك دافع، أي كل سلوك له دافع. ما الدافع للإيمان والعمل الصالح؟ والحياء من الله تبارك. إذن ذكر الأصل، ذكر الفرع، وذكر الدافع لهما. أمر آخر، أن هذه الشجرة حتى تبقى حية لا بد أن نعتني بها، لا بد أن نسقيها بالماء، لا بد أن نقلمها لكي تنمو. ولذلك الإنسان دائما يطلب الهداية من الله، كل يوم 17 مرة في الصلاة في الفريضة: اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. فهو دائم يتعاهد نفسه، يجدد إيمانه. يقول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم، حديث عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص: إن الإيمان لا يخلق في جوف أحدكم كما يخلق الثوب، فاسألوا الله أن يجدد إيمانكم، فاسألوا الله أن يجدد إيمانكم. نعم يا أحبائي، يجب أن يجدد الإنسان منا إيمانه. ولذلك خاطبنا الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا آمنوا. هو يخاطبنا بالمؤمنين، ولكن لماذا يقول لنا آمنوا؟ ألم نؤمن؟ بلى، ولكن جددوا إيمانكم وتحسسوا إسلامكم، وليكن الإنسان منكم على يقظة ولا يغتر، فإن القلب يتقلب. لذلك كان من دعاء رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: يا مثبت القلوب ثبت قلبي على دينك، يا مثبت القلوب ثبت قلبي على دينك. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا، ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا، وهب لنا منك من لدنك رحمة، إنك أنت الوهاب.
Sheikh went on to say concerning this Islam, this iman, that the example of the iman in al-Islam is like the example of a tree. And just like the tree, if one of us assumes responsibility for the welfare of this tree, we have to pay attention to the tree. And we have to take time out to give the tree the things that it needs in order to grow. Because if that was going to happen, if the tree was going to give the fruitation that was beneficial, it's not going to take place except if there's going to be someone who's going to take responsibility for the development and the growth of this tree. Keeping in mind that this tree, again, is like iman. And if a person was to leave this tree, not pay attention to it, then obviously what's going to happen is that the tree is going to send forth the fruitation that is not beneficial, if any fruitation at all, because it may wind up being a tree that becomes dry and it doesn't get anything. He went on to say, all of you will be in agreement, the fact that if you have a good place and you have good land and soil that is palatable for this tree, obviously the fruit from which that from this soil is going to come out good. And opposite, if you have a place where it is not good to plant in that soil, then it necessitates that the fruit that's going to come from that place is not going to be good. So the Shaykh went on to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran has clearly given us this example when he said, verily Allah gives to you an example, the example of a good tree. It origin is firmly established in the ground, and its leaves or its branches go out towards the sky. It gives to everyone who is taken from it its fruit and vegetation and benefit. The Shaykh went on to say that this tree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran and he's given it the similar to, this is al-Islam. And just as this tree has its branches and its roots and its trunk, and it has these other parts that are connected to it, likewise, al-Islam has its branches and its roots and its parts that are connected to it that need to be taken care of. And the proof of that is the authentic hadith that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al-Iman is 70 branches. The highest branch is saying La ilaha illallah, and the lowest branch of faith is taking something harmful from out of the pathway. And shyness is a branch of al-iman. The Shaykh went on to say, you see, Ikhwan, that this iman is similar to this tree. It has different levels to it and different branches. As we can see in this hadith, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned 70 branches. The highest branch of the tree of iman is the branch of at-tawheed. For a person to say La ilaha illallah and to understand it and to work by it. Because verily this tawheed, it is the thing that causes a person to do good deeds. The Shaykh went on to say that this iman, no doubt, is the thing that gives a person the desire to do good deeds. And the proof of that is that in so many places in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has connected and mentioned in the same verse at the same time, iman and good deeds in so many ayahs. So that in and of itself is a clear proof for us to recognize that it is iman that causes a person to have the desire to eventually do the good deed. He went on to say that every single good deed has some type of behavior that is behind it that causes a person to actually do it, as the scholars of the psychologists say today. Many of the psychologists, they have a principle in which they say that every single action or behavior of a person is as a result of some other action that is within that person. So the Shaykh went on to say, in this case, al-haya or shyness is one of those things that causes a person to have or to do good deeds. The Shaykh went on to say, so therefore, Ikhwan, in the tree of iman, we need to take time out to water this tree. And we need to take time out to cut off of this tree of iman those weeds and those other things that are growing on it that shouldn't be there, and it's going to ultimately lead to the detriment of the tree. He went on to say, this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his religion has legislated for us to continuously ask for hidayah or guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For verily, at least 5 times every day when we're making salah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us on the sirat al-mustaqim, the path of those who Allah is pleased with, and not the path of those who Allah is angry with, and those who have gone astray. This ayah clearly shows us in asking for the hidayah that we are in fact taking care of the tree of al-iman. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us in an authentic hadith on the authority of Abdullah ibn Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily, the iman of one of you people, or the iman of every single one of you, the iman of the person wears out just as his soul becomes worn out. So therefore, ask Allah to renew your iman. And then we look in the Quran, Ikhwan, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in so many ayahs in the Quran, he said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala didn't say, O you mu'minun. Allah didn't say that. He said the reason for that is when Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, it implies linguistically that you are in a continuous motion of renewing your iman. Whereas if he was to address you, Ya ayyuha alladhina mu'minun, as in mu'minun, it means that you will complete your iman and you do not need this renewal. So therefore, Ikhwan, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in applying this principle that the Shaykh is talking about, he used to make the dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. When he used to make sajdin, he used to say, Oh, the one who establishes the heart, establish my heart firmly upon your deen. Oh, Allah, the one who establishes the heart, establish my heart firmly upon your deen. And Allah ta'ala has ordered us to say in the Quran, O our Lord, do not cause us to go astray. After you have guided us, verily you are the one who gave.
الأمر الثالث هو أن غراس هذا الدين سيبقون رغم محاولات أعداء الله تبارك وتعالى أن يقتلعوها، وهذا الدين سيتم بعون الله وبإذنه ولو كره الكافرون، ولو كره المشركون الذين يحاولون معالم هذا الدين, يحاولون أن يطفئوا نور الله, يحاولون أن يشوهوا دون الله تبارك وتعالى. يقول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم مبشرا أتباع سنته, مبشرا السائرين على منهج صحابته, مبشرا الفرقة الناجية والطائفة المنصورة, مبشرا السلفيون أهل الحديث. يقول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يزال الله يغرس في هذا الدين غرسا, لا يزال الله يغرس في هذا الدين غرسا يستعمله في طاعته إلى يوم القيامة. نعم يا أخواني, لا يزال الله يغرس لهذا الدين غرسا. ومن الطرائف العلمية التي وقفت عليها فائدة ذكرها ابن أبي يعلى رحمه الله في طبقات الحنابلة في الجزء الأول صفحة 190 مفسرا هذا الحديث ناقلا عن إمام أهل السنة, قال عن نعيم بن طريف عن أحمد بن حنبل في تفسير حديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يزال الله يغرس في هذا الدين غرسا, قال هم أصحاب الحديث.
The Sheikh went on to say that the third point that he wants to discuss with you, insha'Allah ta'ala, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to protect his religion in spite of what people are trying to do against the deen. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to complete his deen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to protect his deen. He's going to establish it firmly in spite of what the enemies of his deen may have to say or what they try to do. In spite of what the disbelievers do. In spite of what the polytheists do. The Shaykh went on to say that these people try to extinguish the light of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala by blowing it out with their mouths, and never will they be successful, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam has clearly established in the authentic hadith when he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not cease to establish, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not cease to establish for his religion those things that are going to be used to obey him until Yawm al-Qiyamah. So this hadith, ikhwan, is good, glad tidings given to the people who are from the firqat al-najiyah. This hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is good news given to the people who are salafiyin of ahl hadith. For the people who want to take the minhaj of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala according to the way of the sahabas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. The Shaykh said that in his studies as a student of knowledge, one of the good things or the benefits that he has found in his studies is what Ibn Abi Ya'la has written in his book, that famous book that's called Tabaqat al-Hanabila, in which he tells about the people who are of the Hanbali madhhab. He gives a little small biography of all of the people who attribute themselves to this madhhab. The Shaykh went on to say that you can find in this book by Ibn Abi Ya'la on page 190, in book number 1, in the first book, page 190, the statement of as Imam Ahmed on the authority of Na'im ibn Turayf, who said that he heard as Imam Ahmed, who was the Imam of Ahl Sunnah. He said that as Imam Ahmed said concerning this hadith that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will not cease to plant a group of people who will be used for the obedience of Allah. He said, as Imam Ahmed said, the meaning of those people are Ashabul Hadith, the people of Hadith.
وهذا الأمر وهذه الحقيقة تعطينا قوة في الثبات على منهجنا, تعطينا قوة في الثبات على الدين, تعطينا قوة في الثبات على الإسلام. لأن هذا المنهج يا أخواني, أعني منهج الحق, منهج الحديث, المنهج السلفي, هو الذي يغيظ به الله الكفار, هو الذي يغيظ به الله أهل البدع, هو الذي يغيظ به الله سبحانه وتعالى أعداء الله تبارك وتعالى. لأن بقاء هذا المنهج وصف لازم في الفرقة الناجية لأنهم يغيظون الكفار. يصف الله تبارك وتعالى أصحاب محمد ومن سار على نهج أصحاب محمد بمثل عظيم في الإنجيل, ومثلهم في الإنجيل كزرع أخرج شطأه فآزره فاستغلظ فاستوى على سوقه يعجب الزراع ليغيظ بهم الكفار. نعم, لا بد أن يغيظ هذا المنهج الكفار, ولا بد أن يغيظ أهل البدع, ولا بد أن يغيظ أهل الأهواء, يستطيعوا أن يقترعوا أو يلبسوا على أتباعه ولو اجتمعوا له، ولو أنفقوا أموالهم، ولو جيشوا جموعهم على أن يتبعوا هذا المنهج أو أن يطمسوا معالمه، لا يستطيعون. هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون.
The Sheikh went on to say that, Ikhwan, this previous hadith, Ashabul Hadith, are the ones who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to use so that he can be worshipped and obeyed. He said that the understanding of this hadith should give us honor and it should give us power. It should allow us to realize that we have to be firmly established on our deen. Realize that it's talking about the people who want to follow the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It should firmly establish us on al-Islam. And it should firmly establish us on the minhaj that is the truth. The Sheikh went on to say, because when we are actually understanding these principles, then it becomes clear that the people who are on the Prophet minhaj, they are the people who are against the kuffar. And they are the people who are against the people of bid'ah. And the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to this hadith, they are the ones who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses in order to make what is called yughibu. Allah is actually using them to make the kuffar and the people of bid'ah upset and afraid. He said, look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described the Messenger of Allah's companions sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Qur'an. When he told us in the Qur'an about this ayat that he revealed in the Injil to the Christians, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and the example in the Injil is that they are like a small seed that begins. And then that small seed begins to spread out and it becomes strong. And then it begins to stand up on its own stem by itself. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with them will make harm and hurt the kuffar. The Sheikh went on to say that this is a tremendous description given to the Sahabas and the people who are following their way. And he said it necessitates that anyone who is on this proper minhaj, if they are really on this proper thing, then what's going to happen is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, as this ayah or this hadith of the Prophet has said, he is going to be used as a utensil against the kuffar. And he's going to be used as a utensil against the enemies of Allah, the people who create and innovate bid'ah and innovation in the religion of Allah. In spite of the fact that these people try whatever they want to try, they cannot change this principle, even though they spend a lot of money in their efforts, and even though they try to make a lot of tricks against their followers so that their followers won't realize what they're doing, or against the people of the truth, they will be defeated according to this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and according to the ayah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, he, Allah, is the one who has sent his messenger with the truth and the religion, with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may proclaim it over all other religions, even though the polytheists or the mushrikun may detest it.
والآن نتناول الأسباب التي شرعها الله تبارك وتعالى وبينها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فمن تعاطاها بإخلاص واتباع أثمرت عنده الثبات على الدين، وأثمرت عنده عدم الزيغ والانحراف، وأثمرت عنده الثبات على السنة والعض عليها بالنواجذ عند الافتراق وعند الاختلاف، فهو ثابت ولو فر الناس، وهو ثابت ولو فر الناس، وهو متيقن ولو شك الناس، وهو على بينة من ربه وإن ارتد الناس. هذه الأسباب أولها أن ينصر الإنسان المسلم دين ربه، فمن نصر الله نصره، ومن حفظ الله حفظه، ومن حفظ الله كان الله عونا له. يقول الله تبارك وتعالى ولينصرن الله من ينصره إن الله لقوي عزيز. ويقول الله تبارك وتعالى: إن تنصروا الله ينصركم ويثبت أقدامكم. ويقول الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام في حديث ابن عباس الصحيح: يا غلام إني أعلمك كلمات، احفظ الله يحفظك، احفظ الله تجده تجاهك، أي تجده عونا لك في كل لحظة من لحظات حياتك.
The Sheikh went on to say that after this Ikhwan, he will now discuss some of the ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated for us to get this sabat on our deen, or to become firmly established in our deen. Also, he's going to explain along with that some of the ways in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained to us some of the ways in which we can get this firm, this establishment on the deen. He said, so therefore, for every one of you who are sitting here, if you were to have an ikhlas or sincerity, and you were to follow what he's about to say, inshallah ta'ala, you will become established on the deen. And you will be protected from going astray and from becoming a deviant from the people who are lost. The Sheikh went on to say that if you were to do this, then you will be firmly established upon the sunnah, holding on to it with your molar. And you will be able to do this at the time of fitna, when everyone else is in a confused state and everyone else is having problems. You will be established even though the people will be divided and running amok. You will be established even though the people do not know what's up and what's down. The Sheikh went on to say that the very first thing that you have to do if you want to be established on the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and on the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that each and every person must realize the need to help the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That he should make the nasr of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For verily the Shaykh said, whoever helps Allah, Allah will help him. And whoever protects Allah, Allah will protect him. And Allah will be in his corner to help him. The Shaykh went on to recite two ayats from the Quran and a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first ayat is the statement of Allahu tabaraka wa ta'ala, verily Allah will help those who help him. And Allah is Qawi Aziz. Allah is Almighty and Allah is Aziz wa ta'ala. He should spend from his money in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah says in the Quran, verily the example of those who spend in the cause of Allah, seeking the faith and the pleasure of Allah, and seeking to become established in the deen. Verily the example of those who spend in the cause of Allah from their money, seeking the faith of Allah and the pleasure of Allah, and seeking to be firmly established in the deen. The Sheikh went on to say this ayah clearly shows us that the people who spend in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this spending in it is a tasbih, or the person has the opportunity to become firmly established. And the reason for that is that, as you all will recognize and agree with, the person's nafs, his person, as well as his money, are valuable to him and extremely important to him. And he's not going to spend it on anything that he doesn't deem it worthwhile. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has purchased from the believers their lives and their money, because their lives and their properties are the most important things to them. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in one of the ayahs of the Quran, verily Allah has purchased from the believers their monies and their wealth, because they fight in the cause of Allah. They fight and they are killed, and their reward will be paradise. The Shaykh went on to say, this is clear, Ikhwan, that the reward that the person gets for fighting in the cause of Allah and thus spending his wealth and his nafs in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his reward is going to be the Jannah, because he has made the ultimate sacrifice and that he has given those two things that he loves, his money and his nafs. So because these things are expensive to him and important to him, he realizes that he's not going to spend it on anything that's not important. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give him a tremendous reward.
والأمر الثالث الدعاء. الدعاء أمره عظيم، أمره عظيم، ولا يعرف قيمة الدعاء إلا من وجد لذة الدعاء. فالمؤمن يدعو ربه بأن يثبته وأن يفرغ عليه صبرا. يقول الله تبارك وتعالى مخبرا عن المؤمنين: ربنا افرغ علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. إنهم يستعينون بالله، لأن مثبت الأقدام هو الله، مثبت القلوب هو الله. ويقول الله تبارك وتعالى: وكأي من نبي قاتل معه ربيون كثير فما وهنوا لما أصابهم في سبيل الله وما ضعفوا وما استكانوا والله يحب الصابرين. وما كان قولهم إلا أن قالوا: ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. فآتاهم الله ثواب الدنيا وحسن ثواب الآخرة والله يحب المحسنين. نعم، الدعاء يا أخواني له منزلة عظيمة، بل هو العبادة، بل هو محض العبادة، كما قال الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم: الدعاء هو العبادة. ثم تلا قوله تعالى: إن الذين يستكبرون عن عبادتي سيدخلون جهنم داخلين. فالله تبارك وتعالى يغضب إن تركت سؤاله، يغضب إن تركت دعاءه، لأنه أمرك بالدعاء ووعدك بالاستجابة، وقال: ربكم ادعوني أستجب لكم، وقال ربكم ادعوني أستجب لكم، وإذا سألك عني عبادي فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعاني. نعم، الدعاء يعني أنك دائم مرتبط مع الله، موصول القلب مع الله، لا يغفل قلبك لحظة عن الله. فمن أحب شيئا ذكره، ومن أحب شيئا بالغ في ذكره، ومن أحب الله دعا الله، ومن دعا الله استجاب له الله، ومن استجاب له الله ثبت قلبه على دينه.
Sheikh went on to say that the third thing that we can do in order to become firmly established upon this deen is that we make the dua or supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the dua is extremely important, and most people do not know its qima or its position in the religion except the one who has given himself to it. So therefore the believer is required to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this tabat or to be established. And the believer is required to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sabr. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, in one of the ayahs of the Quran, in the dua of the believers, and that they say, O our Lord, send down for us or upon us patience, and establish our feet firmly, and help us against the kuffar, help us against the ones who disbelieve. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in another ayah of the Quran, and how many were there from the people who fought along with the prophets, and they used to fight. And when they used to fight, they did not become faint-hearted, nor did they lose hope, nor did they turn away. But they said, verily, Allah loves those who are patient. And then they made the dua, and they said, O our Lord, forgive us our sins, and establish our feet firmly, and help us against the people who are disbelievers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala verily helps those who are patient and who are steadfast. The Shaykh went on to say also, this is proven by the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a dua is important. Not only that, but dua is ibadah, or dua is worship. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al-dua huwa al-ibadah. Dua, the supplication, is in and of itself worship. He went on to say, Ikhwan, that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala said in the Quran, and call unto me, O my servant, make dua to me, supplicate to me, and I will answer your supplication, I will answer your prayer. And he said in another ayah, and if my servant asks you about me, O Muhammad, for verily I am close to them. I listen to the dua of the one who makes dawah or dua, so let them also listen to me. The Shaykh went on to say that, Ikhwan, the person who loves someone or something, He's always thinking about that person or that thing. So therefore, if you in fact truly love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you will be a person who is always thinking about Him, and thus making supplication to Him, and making dua to Him. For verily, if you were to do this, as these ayats and this hadith has explained, you will be a person who will receive, insha'Allah ta'ala, the thabat in the religion.
وَالدُّعَاءَ يَا أَحْبَائِي هُوَ الَّذِي أَنْقَذَ يُونَسَ مِنْ بَطْنِ الْحُوتِ. الدعاء هو الذي أنقذ إبراهيم من النار. الدعاء هو الذي ثبت محمدا وأصحابه يوما جمع له الناس. ولكن يا أحبائي للدعاء آدابا وللدعاء شروطا وله مستحبات وله موانع يضيق الحصر يضيق الوقت عن حصرها وذكرها. ولكن أرشد أخواني إلى كتاب كتبته في هذا الباب اسمه النبذ المستطابة في الدعوات المستجابة. بينت فيه شروط الدعاء وآداب الدعاء وأوقات الدعاء وثمرات الدعاء. نسأل الله تبارك وتعالى أن ينفع به المؤمنين.
الشيخ went on to conclude by saying the dua is what has saved the Prophet of Allah, Yunus, from the belly of the whale. And the dua is what has saved Ibrahim from the fire that his people threw him. And the dua is what established the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions firmly when all of the people gathered, or the ahzab gathered up together against them. He went on to say, but ikhwan, this dua or this supplication, it has its etiquette or its adab, and it has its condition, and it has its things that are highly recommendable, that which is mustahab. It has its things that prevent it from being answered. So the Shaykh said, it's impossible in this sitting to discuss all of those affairs. So therefore, what he would like to do is, he would like to guide you all to try to get his book that he wrote about the dua and its place in Islam, and about its etiquette and its condition and its time and those things that will prevent it from being answered. And then he asked Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to have mercy upon all of us and to give us success in the tasbih and the sabbat. So if you brothers have any questions, insha'Allah ta'ala. If you brothers have any time, then the floor is going to be open, the opportunity given to those who have questions. Keeping in mind that we're going to give priority to the questions that are directly related to today's dars. For those of you who came in late, it is not befitting for us to come in to ask questions about things you've missed or questions about issues that are not related to today's dars. So therefore, we'll give priority to the questions of today's lesson, being firmly established upon the deen. Now, talk. يريدك يا شيخ ان تشرح لهم ما معنى ان تنصر الله ان تنصر الله ينصرك.
المراد من نصر الله ونصر دين الله ليس المراد أن الله بحاجة إلينا، ليس المراد بحاجة إلى قوتنا، ليس المراد بحاجة إلى أسلحتنا وإلى جيوشنا. المراد أن الله تبارك وتعالى يريد منك أن تنصر دينه. كيف تنصر دينه؟ بأن تطبقه، بأن تحافظ عليه، بأن تدعو إليه، بأن تتعلمه، بأن تنشره بين الناس، بأن تثبت عليه. فإن فعلت ذلك، تعلمت الدين، عملت بالدين، دعوت إلى الدين، نصرك الله على أعدائه، وثبتك الله على دينه، وهذا مع قول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم احفظ الله يحفظ، أي احفظ حدود الله، احفظ أوامر الله، احفظ ما وهبك الله من الجوارح عن معاصي الله، فلا تضعها إلا فيما أمر الله. ليس الله بحاجة إلى أن نحفظه، الله هو الحافظ، ولكن احفظ حدود الله، احفظ أوامر الله، احفظ جوارحك في أن تضعها في غير ما أراد الله. وهنا يعني تقدير في اللغة يسمى حذف المضاف. إن تنصروا الله، أي إن تنصروا دين الله، إن تنصروا دين الله. نعم.
Sheikh went on to say that the meaning of the question, which was, how do we understand the ayah in the Quran, if you help Allah, Allah will help you. He went on to say that let it be understood that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in no need of our ability, and He is in no need of our strength, and He does not need our weapons, nor does He need any armies that we can put together. But the meaning of that is that you help the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do you help Allah's religion? You help Allah's religion by practicing it, and by taking care of the religion, and by learning the religion, and by giving dawah to the religion. He went on to say that if you were to do this, you will be one who is helping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you do this, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you. He will help you over your enemies, and He will help you to overcome your difficulties. And this is also the meaning of the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, protect Allah, and Allah will protect you. He went on to say that it simply means that you do the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered you to do, and you stay away from the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited you from. If you were to do this, you will be of the people who helped Allah and protected Allah. يقول ما تعليقك على قول الذين يقولون الإيمان لا يزيد لنا وأن الإنسان يصل إلى معرفة الله سبحانه وتعالى بوجود الإيمان. الإنسان يصل إلى الإيمان بمعرفة الله سبحانه وتعالى.
معرفة عن الله.
معرفة.
هؤلاء يجهلون حقيقة دين الله تبارك وتعالى، يجهلون حقيقة الإيمان، يجهلون كلام الله، يجهلون سنة رسول الله. إن الإيمان يزيد وينقص، يزيد بالطاعات وينقص بالمعاصي، وزيادة الإيمان ثابتة في كتاب الله. فأما الذين آمنوا فزادتهم إيمانا، أيكم زادته هذه إيمانا؟ أولئك هم المؤمنون حقا. كل هذا يدل على زيادة الإيمان، أن الإيمان يزيد، والذي يزيد ينقص. بماذا يزيد؟ يزيد بالعمل الصالح، بالقول الطيب، بالدعوة إلى الله. يثبت الله الذين آمنوا بالقول الثابت، إذن هم بذلوا العمل الصالح، ثبتهم الله واستحقوا أن يكونوا من المؤمنين الكمل. أما سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ففيها الكثير يدل على أن الإيمان يزيد وينقص، يكتمل الإيمان وينقص. كقول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم أكمل المؤمنين إيمانا أحسنهم أخلاقا. قول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم كمل من الرجال كثير، ولم يكمل من النساء إلا مريم ابنة عمران وآسيا بنت مزاحم وخديجة بنت خويلد. قول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أوثق عرى الإيمان الحب في الله والبغض في الله، ثم قال من أحب في الله وأبغض في الله فقد استكمل الإيمان. إذن هناك مؤمنون كمل وهناك دونهم، مما يدل أيضا على أن الإيمان يزيد وينقص، يضعف ويقوى. قول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: المؤمن القوي خير أحب إلى الله من المؤمن الضعيف وفي كل خير، هذا ثابت من المعلوم من عقيدة أهل السنة السلف الصالح بالضرورة أن الإيمان يزيد وينقص. أما الذين ابتدعوا هذا فهم طائفة المرجئة، طائفة المرجئة الذين قالوا إن الإيمان محرفة تصديق، فلذلك أحدهم يقول إن إيماني كإيمان جبريل، إيمانه كإيمان أبي بكر وعمر، إيمانه كإيمان محمد بن عبد الله، لا يزيد ولا ينقص، لا يضر مع الإيمان دم ولا ينفع مع الشرك طاعة. هؤلاء طائفة خبيثة ابتدعت في دين الله تبارك وتعالى.
The Sheikh went on to say concerning this issue that these people who have developed this saying that the brother asked about, that they are those people who are of the belief that the iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-ma'rifah, or just to know him, just to believe the tasdeeq, and that they also attribute a false statement to Islam, and that statement is that the iman or the belief of a person doesn't go up nor does it come down. Concerning this point, the Sheikh went on to say that these people, they do not realize the truth of their religion, the haqiqah of their religion, nor do they realize the truth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nor the haqiqah of iman, nor the haqiqah of the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because it's clear that the iman, it goes up and it goes down. It increases and it decreases. It increases when a person obeys Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it decreases when he disobeys Allah and his Messenger. When the person do good deeds, whenever he does good deeds, his iman is going to be affected, it's going to go up. And whenever he partakes in evil deeds and that which is astray and against the deen, his iman is going to go down. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in so many ayats, like the ayat when it was said to the Prophet and his companions, verily those people who have gathered up to come in to get you, or the people who are against you, it did nothing but it increased them in iman. So this is an ayat of the Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown us clear text that said that they were increased in iman. The Sheikh went on to say another proof of the fact that the iman goes up and comes down is that one of the sunnahs of Allah in His creation is that what goes up must come down. So if your iman goes up, eventually it's going to have to come down. And there are so many hadith as well that go against this mentality. So many hadith from the Prophet ﷺ. For an example, the Prophet ﷺ said, the most complete person of the believer is the one who has the best khuluq. He has the best character. And he said, أَكْمَلْ mu'minin iman. The most complete of the Muslims in their iman is the one who has the best characteristics. So we understand from this hadith that the person who does not have good character, there's some deficiency in his iman, but he can always work towards perfecting his character. The Shaykh went on to say another example of this is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he said, many from amongst the men have been complete, but the only women who have been complete is Maryam, the daughter of Imran, and Asiya, who was the wife of Fir'aun, as well as Khadija, the wife of the Prophet ﷺ. So the Shaykh went on to say this hadith of the Prophet, that many men have been complete. Kumila, they have been complete. Many from amongst them have been complete. But the only ones who have been complete are these three women according to this particular hadith. Another proof that the Shaykh went on to say from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his statement in which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The greatest." The greatest. It's difficult to translate. But the greatest or the heaviest or the strongest part of faith is for a person to love for Allah and to hate for Allah. The greatest part of the faith, the strongest part of faith, is for a person to love for Allah and to love or to hate for Allah. So we understand from this hadith that there are other aspects of faith. This one is the greatest aspect, to love and to hate. So there are other ones that are less than that. If that's the greatest, then it necessitates that there are other things that are below that. He went on to say that the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever loves for Allah, in another hadith, whoever loves for Allah and hates for Allah and gives for Allah and prevents from giving for Allah, verily his iman is complete. Then the Shaykh went on to say another hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said, the believer who is strong and mighty and powerful is better and more beloved in the sight of Allah than the believer who is weak. And in both of them there is good. In the weak one and the strong one there is good. But the believer who is strong and powerful is better and more beloved to Allah than the mu'min who is weak. So he used the word mu'min from iman, and he used that he was strong and the other one was weak. So it's proof that people are of different levels. The Shaykh went on to say this is something that is known to the people of the Sunnah for all time. He said no one created this deviant statement except the people who are known as al-murji'ah, the people who say that an iman or belief is simply a person knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is here or he has the tafdeel. So these people believe that their iman is like the iman of Jibreel, or that their iman is like the iman of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, or like Umar, or like Muhammad ibn Abdullah. The Shaykh went on to say that these people believe that their iman is not affected in a good way by their obeying Allah, nor is their iman affected in a bad way when they disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
ثم أقول لهؤلاء الذين يقولون أن الإيمان معرفة لو كان الإيمان معرفة لكان إبليس عليه لعنة الله من أكثر الناس إيمانا من أكثر الخلق إيمانا لأنه يعرف ورأى وسمع الأمر من الله مباشرة.
He said, and finally he'll say to those people who make this claim that al-Iman or belief is simply knowing, he said, the last thing that he says to them, that this statement means that Iblis has more Iman than everyone else. Because Iblis himself, he knew Allah, he knew very well, he saw, and he also heard, and he took from Allah and spoke with Allah directly. He said, so based upon what you're saying, that iman is just knowing that Allah is there, then it necessitates that Iblis has the most iman. Could the noble Shaykh please advise how sisters with children who may divert them from Allah's worship and therefore weaken their establishment on the deen can prevent this from happening? أسألك يا شيخ السنة الأخوات اللاتي من الله عليهن بالأولاد الأولاد يشغلونهن عن عبادة الله والثبات على الدين ما نصيحتكم من هذا الشيء؟
الأولاد نعمة عظيمة يا أخوان نعمة للإنسان في حياته ونعمة للإنسان بعد موته فإذا قامت الأم أو الأب بتربية الأبناء تربية صالحة كان لها أجر عظيم عند الله تبارك وتعالى هذه المرأة التي سألت الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم رفعت إليه طفلا صغيرا قالت لهذا حج كانت تذهب رجل الحج فقالت يا رسول الله ألي هذا حج ألي الطفل الصغير حج قال نعم ولك أجر إذن المرأة التي تربي أبنائها عبادة لله المرأة التي تعلم أبنائها الصلاة عبادة لله المرأة التي تعلم أبنائها الصدق عبادة لله إذن وهي تمارس تربية أطفالها تعبد الله إذن فالطفل لا ينهي عن عبادة الله لأن القيامة بحقه جزء من عبادة الله وإذا نمى هذا الطفل صالحا سيدعو لك بعد موتك، ستنتفع بدعائه بعد موتك. يقول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم: إذا مات ابن آدم انقطع عمله إلا من ثلاث: صدقة جارية، أو علم ينتفع به، أو ولد صالح يدعو له. إذن فالأبناء لمن أحسن تربيتهم أجر في الدنيا وذخرا في الآخرة. فننصح أخواتنا التي رزقهن الله أن يشكرن الله على نعمته. وهؤلاء الأبناء لا تحلو الحياة إلا بهم. المال والبنون زينة الحياة الدنيا. ولتسأل التي رزقها الله الأطفال: من حرمها الله الأطفال؟ كيف تجد حياتها؟ فراغا مملا وضجرا قاتلا. لذلك ننصحها أول شيء أن تشكر الله على النعمة، وأن تقوم بتربية أبنائها، فإن تربيتهم عبادة، وأن تحتسب ذلك عند الله تبارك وتعالى، وأن تتمنى الله أن يديم هذه النعمة عليها. لأن من فقد نعمة الأبناء حياته كئيبة. الكفار يشترون الأبناء، يشترونهم، ومن لم يستطع أن يشتري الأبناء يشتري الكلاب. فأيهما خير، أن تربي ابنا صالحا يدعو لك، أم كلبا ينقص من أجرك؟
The Sheikh went on to explain in answering this question that in reality, sisters, the children in Al-Islam are considered to be tremendous favors from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the person. And this ni'mah, or this favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is in this life as well as in the next life, after your death. If you gave this child the good tarbiyah, or the good education, the good Islamic education, you will receive a lot of reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said all you have to do is look at the hadith, or the incident of the woman who was making hajj. So she came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she held up her child and said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can this child make hajj? Would it be accepted? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in responding to this question, yes, and you will get the reward for it. So we understand from this that what the child does, or what is coming as a result of the child, you, the mother, father, will get rewarded for those efforts. The Sheikh went on to say, in reality, ikhwan and sisters, raising these children, this in and of itself is ibadah. It is ibadah. And it is being established on the deen. Teaching them is ibadah. Teaching them their religion is ibadah. Teaching them to be truthful is ibadah. He went on to say that in Al-Islam, the child shouldn't be a cause for a person to be turned away from Al-Islam, or to be have this israf where he's being turned away, he's not taking care of his job. He went on to say that this person needs to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make supplication and dua to Allah for this child, and to keep this ni'mah perpetuating, for verily it's a tremendous ni'mah, because it's going to benefit you in this life and the next life, as he said previously. And the proof of that is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he said, if the son of Adam died, one of the sons of Adam dies, all of his deeds are cut off except one of three things: the continuous sadaqah, or the knowledge that is beneficial, or a righteous son who will make dua for him. So the Sheikh went on to say, therefore, if this sister was to give her child the good tarbiyah, the good education, this child will be a cause of her happiness and a cooler for her eye in this dunya as well as the akhirah. So his nasiha, or advice to the sister or the sisters, is that they should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this ni'mah, and that they need to understand that this life, for the woman and for the man, that this life, you will not taste and enjoy the sweetness of this life without children. He went on to recite the ayat in the Quran when Allah tabarak wa ta'ala said towards those lines, verily money and children are the beauty of the hayat al-dunya. So the Shaykh went on to say, all you have to do, sister, is go and ask another person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not given her any children. Just go to her and ask her, how is your life without children? How do you find your situation without children? The Shaykh used some high-powered terms that are just too difficult to translate. He gave us some superlatives. I guess all I can say is that they're sad and some. I can't give you the other translation. He went on to say, so therefore, the sister should wait for her reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that she should continue to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep this ni'mah going for her. And we need to realize another point, and that's the point of the kuffar. She said, here you have these kuffar who have no religion, no guidance. They are going out trying to buy children. And if they don't find a child to buy, they go and buy and replace the child with a dog. He said, so what's better for you to have these children who you're going to raise on Al-Islam, and you're going to be the cause of them being guided, and they, inshallah, will give you establishment in the deen. The next question is,
نقول هي لما تنشغل تربية أبنائها هي تنشغل بعبادة ربها، لكن هذا الابن له حق، والرب تبارك وتعالى له حق، وللزوج حق، ولنفسها حق، فلتعطي كل ذي حق حقه، أي لا تلهيها تربية أبنائها عن حق زوجها، لا يلهيها حق زوجها عن حق ربها، لا يلهيها حق الأولاد والأزواج عن حق نفسه. الإسلام دين متكامل متوازن، فنحن نقول أنها لا تتضجر من تربية الأبناء، لأنها وهي تمارس تربية الأبناء تمارس عبادة.
الشيخ went on to respond to the comment of the brother, which was a comment that was good and in place, and he said that maybe what the sister meant was that sometimes our sisters have children, and because of those children, what applies to her is the ayah in the Quran when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and do not allow your children and your money to prevent you from remembering Allah, from the remembrance of Allah. So the brother was saying, maybe that's what they were talking about. Would you like to comment on that aspect? The Shaykh went on to say, still, I'm still saying what I said, that the girl or the woman, if she was to take the time out to teach the children as he put forth everything that he said, if he was to take the time out, then obviously she's not going to fall into that iron. She's not going to fall into that hole. She needs to realize that everyone has rights over her. Her Lord has rights over her. Her husband has rights over her. Her children have rights over her. And herself, she has rights over herself. So, he narrated the hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said, give everyone who has a right over you their right. So the Shaykh basically is still upon that which he put forth. The next question is, how can we prevent problems of the world from weakening our iman and firmness upon the deen? مشاكل الدنيا كيف نمنعها من تصرفنا عن الدين وعدم التبعية؟
مسائل الدنيا كيف نجعلها وسيلة للثبات؟ كيف لا تصرفنا عن دين الله تبارك وتعالى؟ أولا، على الإنسان ذكر أو أنثى أن يعتقد اعتقاد جازم أن هذه الدنيا دار زوال، أنها دار فناء، أنها ممر إلى دنيا أخرى، إلى حياة أخرى، فهو لن يخلد فيها ولن يدوم فيها، ولو دامت لغيره لما وصلت إليه، لو دامت هذه الدنيا لمن قبلنا لما وصلت إلينا. الأمر الآخر أنه يعلم أن متاع هذه الدنيا مهما كان طيبا ولذيذا ليس فيه صفاء تمام الإنسان يا أحبائي ينال لذة الدنيا خالصة إلا فيها شيء من التمغيط. حتى هؤلاء الكفار الذين تجدونهم يعبون من شهوات الدنيا ويرتعون في شهوات الدنيا، لو نظرت إلى حالهم لوجدت أن اللذة الذي ينولها بقلق بضجر بإزعاج بتمغيط، ليس فيها اللذة الصافية. إنما اللذة الصافية في جنة الخلد في جوار الله تبارك وتعالى. الأمر الآخر أنه يعلم أن اليوم الذي يمضي لن يعود، وكلما مضى يوما اقترب من الموت، اقترب من القبر. وهل يعقل أن هذه الدنيا هي النهاية؟ كم من ظالم مضى دون أن يؤخذ منه القصاص؟ كم من إنسان سرب حق الآخرين دون أن يمضي منه القصاص؟ إذن متى القصاص وأين القصاص؟ إذن لا بد من دار أخرى يكون فيها القصاص، يكون فيها العدل، يكون فيها أن يأخذ المظلوم حقه من الظالم. إنها الدار الأخرى. لذلك فإن العاقل الذي ينظر إلى بواطن الأمور ولا تحجبه ظواهرها يعلم أن هذه الدار مزرعة للآخرة، أنها ممر لدار الخلد، أنها ليست مستقر. يقول أحد الشعراء إن لله عبادا فطنا، إن لله عبادا فطنا، طلقوا الدنيا وخافوا الفتنة، لما رأوها ليست لحي وطنا اتخذوها لجة وجعلوا صالح الأعمال فيها سفنا. وكان علي بن أبي طالب إذا أسدل الليل سدوله وغارت نجومه قام وتململ في محرابه تململ الملدوغ السليم قائلا لها: يا دنيا غري غيري، يا دنيا غري غيري، قد بددتك ثلاثا لا رجعة لك، بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى.
Went on to say, in answering this question about the dunya taking us away from being established in al-Din, he said, first of all, brothers and sisters, there are three points that he wants to share with you concerning this issue, and that is the first point, whether you're a man or whether you're a woman, male or female, everyone needs to understand and realize that this dunya, where we are right now, is not permanent, but it is a place that is passing and fleeting. And there is going to come a time when the end arrives for the dunya. And the place that is forever is the akhirah and the life of the next life. We went on to say earlier, the dunya is not going to stay, nor are we going to remain here forever. He said, if this place was going to be forever, it wouldn't have never reached us in the first place. If the nature of the dunya was that it was remaining, stationary, never changing, not going, then it wouldn't have ever reached us in the first place. The second point is that the lata' or the good things of the dunya, the comforts of this dunya, he went on to say that we need to know, secondly, that none of these things are totally 100% pure. Even though they may have good things in them, none of them are 100% pure. And anything that you partake in from this dunya, from the sustenance therein, you're going to find in it some type of impurity in some shape, form, or fashion. Even these kuffar who are spending their time trying to run after everything that the dunya has to offer,
and they have the means by which they can do that. Even those people who have the things that will make you think that they're going to be happy in this dunya, you're going to find some impurities in the things that they're chasing, or some impurities in their situation, in their condition, and that they're going to be people who are going to be affected with depression, fear, or these other characteristics are like that. He said it is not totally 100% pure. But the purity comes when you go to Jannah, when you are next to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in close proximity to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And lastly, if Allah but not least, the Shaykh will have to say that with the passing of each and every day, it shows us that yesterday does not return to us. No one is in the position where he can bring yesterday back. With the passing of each and every day, we come closer and closer to death. He wants